5. I do not wish to describe, brothers, what other horrible veshes I was like forced to vidi that afternoon. The like minds of this Dr. Brodsky and Dr. Branham and the others in white coats. And remember, there was this Devotchka twiddling with the knobs and watching the meters. They must have been more cally and filthy than any prestutnik in the stager itself, because I did not think it was possible for any vet to even think of making films of what I was forced to vidi, all tied to this chair and my glazies made to be wide open. All I could do was to creech very crumpky for them to turn it off, and that, like part drowned the noise of dratsing and fillying and also the music that went with it all. You can imagine it was like a terrible relief when I'd vidded the last bit of film and this Dr. Brodsky said in a very yawny and bored-like gloss, "I think that should be enough for day one, don't you, Branham?" And there I was, with the light switched on, my Gulliver throbbing like a bolshy big engine that makes pain, and my rot all dry and cally inside, and feeling I could, like, sick up every bit of pishka I'd ever eaten, oh, my brothers, since the day I was, like, weaned. "All right," said this Dr. Brodsky. "He can be taken back to his bed." Then he, like, patted me on the plecho and said, "Good, good. A very promising start," grinning all over his litso. Then he, like, waddled out, Dr. Branham after him. But Dr. Branham gave me a, like, very droogy and sympathetic-type smile, as though he had nothing to do with all this vesh, but was, like, forced into it as I was. Anyhow, they freed my plot from the chair, and they let go the skin above my glazies so that I could open and shut them again, and I shut them, oh, my brothers, with the pain and throb in my Gulliver. And then I was, like, carried to the old wheelchair and taken back to my Malenki bedroom. The undervec, who wheeled me, singing away at some hound and horny pop song so that I, like, snarled, "Shut it, thou!" But he only smacked and said, "Never mind, friend," and then sang louder. So I was put into the bed and still felt bolnoy, but could not sleep. But soon I started to feel that soon I might start to feel that I might soon start feeling just a malenki bit better. And then I was brought some nice hot chai with plenty of maloko and sakar, and peating that, I knew that that, like, horrible nightmare was in the past and all over. And then Dr. Branham came in, all nice and smiling. He said, "Well, by my calculations, you should be starting to feel all right again, yes?" "Sir," I said, like wary. I did not quite cope at what he was getting at, govereating about calculations, seeing that getting better from feeling bolnoy is like your own affair and nothing to do with calculations. He sat down, all nice and droogy, on the bed's edge and said, "Dr. Brodsky is pleased with you. You had a very positive response. Tomorrow, of course, there'll be 2 sessions, morning and afternoon, and I should imagine that you'll be feeling a bit limp at the end of the day, but we have to be hard on you. You have to be cured." I said, "You mean I have to sit through? You mean I have to look at... Oh, no," I said, "it was horrible." "Of course it was horrible," smiled Dr. Branham. "Violence is a very horrible thing. That's what you're learning now. Your body is learning it." "But," I said, "I don't understand. I don't understand about feeling sick like I did. I never used to feel sick before. I used to feel like very the opposite. I mean, doing it or watching it, I used to feel real horror show. I just don't understand why or how or what." "Life is a very wonderful thing," said Dr. Branham in a, like, very holy gloss. "The processes of life, the makeup of the human organism, who can fully understand these miracles? Dr. Brodsky is, of course, a remarkable man. What is happening to you now is what should happen to any normal, healthy human organism contemplating the action of the forces of evil, the workings of the principle of destruction. You are being made sane. You are being made healthy." "That I will not have," I said. nor can understand at all. What you've been doing is to make me feel very, very ill." "Do you feel ill now?" he said, still with the old droogy smile on his lips. "So, drinking tea, resting, having a quiet chat with a friend? Surely you're not feeling anything but well." I like listened and felt for pain and sickness in my Gulliver and plot in a like cautious way, but it was true, brothers, that I felt real horror show and even wanting my dinner. "I don't get it," I said. "You must be doing something to me to make me feel ill." And I sort of frowned about that, thinking. "You felt ill this afternoon," he said, "because you're getting better. When we're healthy, we respond to the presence of the hateful with fear and nausea. You're becoming healthy, that's all. You'll be healthier still this time tomorrow." Then he patted me on the noga and went out, and I tried to puzzle the whole vesh out as best I could. What it seemed to me was that the wires and other veshes that were fixed to my plot perhaps were making me feel ill, and that it was all a trick, really. I was still puzzling out all this and wondering whether I should refuse to be strapped down to this chair tomorrow and start a real bit of dratsing with them all, because I had my rights, when another Chelovet came in to see me. He was a, like, smiling starry vet who said he was what he called the discharge officer, and he carried a lot of bits of paper with him. He said, "Where will you go when you leave here?" I hadn't really thought about that sort of vesh at all, and it only now really began to dawn on me that I'd be a fine free Malchick very soon. And then I vidded that would only be if I played it everybody's way and did not start any dratsing and creeching and refusing and so on. I said, "Oh, I shall go home, back to my P and M." "Your..." He didn't get Nadsat talk at all, so I said, "To my parents in the dear old flat block." "I see," he said. "And when did you last have a visit from your parents?" "A month," I said, "very near. They, like, suspended visiting day for a bit because of one press new pit getting some blasting powder smuggled in across the wires from his Ptitsa, a really Cali trick to play on the innocent, like punishing them as well. So it's, like, near a month since I had a visit." "I see," said this Vec. "And have your parents been informed of your transfer and impending release?" That had a really lovely zvook, that did, that Slovo release. I said, "No." Then I said, "It will be a nice surprise for them, that, won't it? Me just walking in through the door and saying, 'Here I am, back, a free Vec again.' Yes, real horror show." "Right," said the discharge officer Vec. "We'll leave it at that. So long as you have somewhere to live. Now, there's the question of your having a job, isn't there?" And he showed me this long list of jobs I could have, but I thought, well, there would be time enough for that. A nice Malenki holiday first. I could do a crasting job soon as I got out and fill the old Carmen's with Pretty Polly, but I would have to be very careful, and I would have to do the job all on my oddy knocky. I did not trust so-called droogs any more. So I told this vet to leave it a bit, and we would gover eat about it again. He said, "Right, right, right," then got ready to leave. He showed himself to be a very queer sort of a vet, because what he did now was to, like, giggle and then say, "Would you like to punch me in the face before I go?" I did not think I could possibly have sluiced that right, so I said, "Eh? Would you," he giggled, "like to punch me in the face before I go?" I frowned like at that, very puzzled, and said, "Why?" "Oh," he said, "just to see how you're getting on." And he brought his litzo real near, a fat grin all over his rot. So I fisted up and went smack at this litzo, but he pulled himself away, real scorry, grinning still, and my rooker just punched air. Very puzzling, this was. And I frowned as he left, smacking his Gulliver off. And then, my brothers, I felt real sick again, just like in the afternoon, just for a couple of minutes. It then passed off scorry, and when they brought my dinner in, I found I had a fair appetite and was ready to crunch away at the roast chicken. But it was funny, that starry Chelovec asking for a tolchok in the litzo, and it was funny feeling sick like that. What was even funnier was when I went to sleep that night, oh, my brothers, I had a nightmare, and As you might expect, it was one of those bits of film I'd vidded in the afternoon. A dream, or nightmare, is really only like a film inside your Gulliver, except it is as though you could walk into it and be part of it. And this is what happened to me. It was a nightmare of one of the bits of film they showed me near the end of the afternoon-like session, all of smacking Malchicks doing the ultraviolet on a young Petitza who was creeching away in her red crovy, her platties all razrezed real horror show. I was in this, fillying about, smacking away and being like the ringleader, dressed in the height of Nadsat fashion. And then, at the height of all this dratzing and toll-chocking, I felt like paralysed and wanting to be very sick, and all the other Malchicks had a real grumpy smack at me. Then I was dratzing my way back to being awake all through my own crovy pints and quarts and gallons of it, and then I found myself in my bed in this room. I wanted to be sick, so I got out of the bed all trembly so as to go off down the corridor to the old vase. But behold, brothers, the door was locked, and turning round, I vidded for like the first raz that there were bars on the window, and so as I reached for the like pot in the Malenki cupboard beside the bed, I vidded that there would be no escaping from any of all this. Worse, I did not dare to go back into my own sleeping Gulliver. I soon found that I did not want to be sick after all, but then I was poogly of getting back into bed to sleep. But soon I fell smack into sleep and did not dream any more.